about to begin a slightly different approach to learning sugyas, something a little bit different that we've been doing in the past, rather than focusing on a specific area of halacha. What I want to try to do over the next couple of weeks, months, years, I don't know, depending on how long it's going to take, but I want to speak more about some of the klolim in halacha, particularly the klolim that relate to issues of sveikos. Whenever you have shaylas, you have sveikos in halacha, sveikos in metziyah, sveikos in halacha, what are some of the rules in terms of sveikos deraisa l'chumra, sveikos derabbanan l'kula, sveikos, following row, different kinds of rows, following chazokas, different kinds of chazokas, when you have conflicts between rows and chazokas, and egos, and most of the harayas, all kind of different klolim that we throw around a lot in the process of all areas of halacha, both in terms of Issur Heter as well as in Dinei Mamonos, to try to get really an overview of many of these different principles as they play out. So this is probably the closest thing we can call the Shira of Ksher Shmaitzah Shira, only because that's the classic Sefer written by the Ketzos, about which focuses on many of these klolim. So we're not going to go Keseder of the Ksher Shmaitzah. That's some yeshivas, they have Chabur, Ksher Shmaitzah, Chabur is not going to do that. On the other hand, we're going to constantly be referencing, and very often we discussing Kedushim of the Shmaitzah himself, as well as many other discussions that revolve around certain principles that the Ksher Shmaitzah, the Balak Ketzos, develops. So we're going to begin with the first klal, is the klal of Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra. So this klal is pretty well known. It appears in the Gemara in several places. Actually, has a source even in Mishnayos. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Mikvos that pretty much says it explicitly. The principle of Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra. And in the Gemara, is many times such a principle exists, called Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra. Whenever you have a Sofek in the area of a Din Min HaTorah, so you have to go L'Chumra. This plays out both in terms of Mitzvah Sasei, as well in terms of Mitzvah Lo Sasei. The Gemara says in the third parak of Maseches Brachos, if you have a suffix, whether you say Kriya Shema or not. You can't remember if you say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, depends. If you hold that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah d'araisa, then you have to repeat the Kriya Shema. If you hold that Kriya Shema is only mid-rabbana, then you wouldn't have to repeat the Kriya Shema. How can anybody say Kriya Shema is only d'rabbana? It's supposed to be Chumash. That's a Kriya Shema, so it's not asking right now. But the we pass the Kriya Shema is d'araisa. So the Gemara says beferish that whenever you have a suffix, whether you did a mitzvah d'araisa, let's say you have a suffix, whether you blew shofar, a suffix, whether you ate matzah, a suffix, whether you shook a lulav, so you always have to repeat the mitzvah because of sveika d'araisa l'chumra. And similarly, sveika d'araisa l'chumra plays out in terms of isurim as well. If you have a piece of meat and you're not sure, is it chazer, is it not chazer? 50-50 chance, you're not allowed to eat it. You have a piece of, you have something sitting on the table, you have a cracker sitting on the table, you're not sure, is it chumra, is it matzah? It's on Pesach, so you have a sveika d'araisa l'chumra. So again, the principle of sveika d'araisa l'chumra is well known. However, there is a major machlekes in the Rishonim, how to understand the nature of this principle called sveika d'araisa l'chumra. We spoke a little bit about this in some of the nidashurim. That's what I said, that a lot of the klolim that we spoke about over the last 10 years, now we're going to come back to learn the klolim themselves. So there is a Shita Sarambam that appears in a few places. The most explicit place is in Hilchos Tumas Meis. The Rambam refers to it in several places throughout the Rambam. But the Rambam develops the following Yisod. The Rambam says that the principle of Sveika D'araisa L'Chumra, yes, it's true, but it's only true on a level of Dirabanan. Namely, according to the standards of the Torah itself, Sveika D'araisa is L'Kulas. If you were living in the Midbar, and you found a piece of meat, so you could eat meat in the Midbar. So you found a piece of meat, or you found a cracker on the Pesach, and you came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and you asked him, your Medina Rabbeinu, tell me, I'm not sure, it's a 50-50 chance, whether this is Chometz, whether it's Matzah, or it's a 50-50 chance, whether this is Chaz or something else. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself would pass against Mutter. They're all Sveikas and Mutter in the Torah. When the Torah says, don't eat Chazir, the Torah means don't eat something that's vade chazir. The Torah says don't eat chametz. The Torah means don't eat something that's vade chametz. Anytime you have a suffix, you're not sure whether it is or it's not, minat Torah, that's permissible. Nevertheless, mid derabbanan, the chachamim didn't like this idea. It's going to lead to a terrible zilzul in Yisurim. People are going to be eating suffix chazir. Next thing you know, they're going to be eating vade chazir. So the chachamim thought this is not a good idea. Perfect. You're an Isaac world. If you live in Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, so maybe you could follow this din. But with the Rabbanan, they felt that this is just not right. And therefore, they instituted an Issa de Rabbanan, Chumra de Rabbanan, called Sveika de Raisa L'Chumra. But on a level of the Raisa, there is no such thing. On a level of the Raisa, all Sveika is a mut. It is a Shittas Rambam, explicit throughout Sefer Mishneh Torah. So many, many of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The attack against the Rambam was led primarily by the Rashba. Rashba was the original Baal, not the original, but the primary Baal Plukta of the Rambam in this issue, and then many other Rishonim followed suit along with the Rashba as well. The issues that the Rashba and later Rishonim raised against the Rambam, each one of them is a critical issue in and of itself, which is each one really warrants a shiur in and of itself. We're going to try to focus on the highlights of some of the issues that the Rishonim bring up against the Shittas Rambam. There seem to be many, many halachas, many, many gemaras that are problematic according to this view of the Rambam, which combination of all these gemaras led most or many of the Rishonim to say that the whole premise of the Rambam is not correct, that the principle of Sfeika Deraisa L'Chumra is a principle even on a level Deraisa, that the Torah itself does require of us to refrain from Sfeikas. It's not just the Chumra Midrabanan. What were some of the issues that the Rashba and the later Rishonim picked up against the Rambam? So one of the Gemaras, one of the pivotal Gemaras in the Sugya, is the Gemara at the end of Maseches Kedushin, the fourth parak of Maseches Kedushin, where the Gemara is the following Drasha. The Torah says, in Pashas Kisaitse, L'yavay Mamzer v'Kal Hashem, that a Mamzer is not permitted to come into Kal Hashem. Coming to Kal Hashem doesn't mean to convert. If the Mamzer is Jewish, who's he converting? He's not converting. L'yavay Mamzer v'Kal Hashem means to marry into Klal Yisrael. So there's a Nisa Diraisa for Mamzer to marry a regular kosher Jewish girl, or vice versa. There's a Nisa Diraisa for Mamzer to marry a kosher or a boy. How do we define a Mamzer? So that's what the Mishnah, the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos, quotes Machlokes HaTanoim. How exactly do you define a Mamzer? Everybody agrees that a Mamzer is defined by somebody who came into existence through some kind of an Isser, some kind of parents were not permitted to be together. But to what extent of an Isser was violated, that's a three-way Machlokes HaTanoim. So one Tana, Rabbi Akiva, says, Yesh Mamzer Mechayv Elavim, that even if the parents violated only an Isser Lav in the Torah, let's say, I have to find the case of it's a complicated case because the Gemara limits it according to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara gives you one or two cases that would be a violation of an Issa Lav that would create Mamzerus according to Rabbi Akiva. The Suri Kahuna are probably not good examples, but you have to look around through your Vamos, you'll find a few cases here and there. Then the Gemara quotes in the other extreme the view of Rabbi Yeshua that only those Arayos that carry with them a Chi of Mises Bezim, like we spoke a little bit about yesterday, the Averus of Arayos, the Chaburus Biyos, the most serious Arayos, carry with them a Dina Mamzerus. But let's say Nisa Kares wouldn't carry with it the Nisa Mamzerus. And then the Gemara quotes a third position, the way we pass it. Shimon HaTimni, either Shimon HaTimni or Shimon HaTimani. Usually people say Shimon HaTimani, but Rashi says that he came from Timna, from Timnasa. It's by Shimon HaTimni, so in case you're interested in where he came from. So Rabbi Shimon, some Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnayos says that neither extreme is correct. Rabbi Akiva's view of a lot is not sufficient to create Mamzerus, and Rabbi Yeshua's view of Chayav Mises Beizin is not enough. The middle view is the correct view. The middle view is the view of Kares, that any woman who does an Issa Kares on creates Mamzerus. So with the exception of Nida, of course, that's the Gemara, the special pasuk that says that if a person is born a Nida, the child is not at all a Mamzer. I mean, is not a Mamzer b'chlal. But anybody else except for Nida would be subject to the dinim of Mamzerus. So that's what the Gemara says, that let's say you have a person is Bola Neshazish, there's an Issa Kares, Bola Chosa, Bola Imo, etc. We just read yesterday, all of Parshas Kedoshim, with the exception of Nida, carries with it the consequences of Kares. It's interesting. Could we turn it off just one second?
What? It's hard to...
Oh, so remind me at the end. Okay, remind me at the end of the show. I don't want to say it now. I'm getting in trouble for saying it. Remind me at the end of the show. The end of the story. So anyway, so we pass in Lahaloch, like the middle view, like Shimon HaTimni, that any Arayas that carries with the cars, which is basically all Arayas except for Nida, carries with the consequences of becoming a Mamzer. So the Torah says that a Mamzer is not allowed to get married. L'yav a Mamzer b'kal Hashem. So the Gemara says we have a Jerusha. We have Tosha Mapet tells us L'yav a Mamzer. The term Mamzer means a Mamzer v'adai. But Suffolk Mamzer Yavo. If you have someone who's only a Suffolk Mamzer, we don't know what he's a Mamzer. Maybe she's an Eishes. Maybe she's not. Maybe the father was Mazana with the sister. Maybe, yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. 50-50 chance that there was a Din of Mamzerus. So the Gemara says we have a Din min HaTorah that Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter. But the Rabbanan, it's still a problem. But the Rabbanan, there's still issues of Malas of Yuchsin that we have issues with Suffolk Mamzer. But in a perfect world, in the love of Deraisa, so all Suffolk Mamzerus is Mutter. And the Gemara is a special Mzerus HaKosov to teach us that a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter. So comes the Rashba in the fourth parak of Kiddushin and asks against the Rambam. And the Rambam is right that all sfeikas are mutter min haTorah. So why do you need a pasuk to tell me that sfeik malbus is mutter? All sfeikas are mutter. Sfeik chometz is also mutter. Sfeik l'shabes is also mutter. Sfeik eshesish is also mutter. All sfeikas are mutter. So the Gemara sounds in Kedushin like we just discovered America. There's some new, brand new gzeres hakosav, some yaitzim in a klal, some exception to the rule. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a gzeres hakosav that sfeik mamzer is mutter. According to the Rambam, manishtana mamzeris, from all other Yisurim in the Torah. So if the Rashba, according to me, who disagrees with the Rambam, I hold that all sfeikas are asr min haTorah. It means if you have a sfeik chazi, you can't eat it, and sfeik shabbos is asr, and sfeik eshesish is asr, and sfeik chametz, everything else is asr. And here, this is the exception to the rule that sfeik mamzer is mutter. But according to you, the Rambam, that all sfeikas are mutter, what do you need a pasuk to tell me sfeik mamzer is mutter? Why should sfeik mamzer be any more chomer than any other sfeik in the Torah? That's the thrust of the Rashba's kasha. Unless, the Rashba says, you want to argue according to the Rambam that maybe this is the mokor. That all sfeikas are mutter. That maybe, how did the Rambam know that all sfeikas are mutter? Why should you say sfeikas are mutter? If you would have asked me, I would have said, without knowing anything else, I would have said, you're not sure whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you're allowed to eat this chametz. Maybe it's chametz, maybe it's matzah. How dare you take a chance? You're not sure whether this is chazer or not. How dare you take a chance? I mean, Svar Rishona, my first impression would have been that all sfeikas should have been asar. The Rambam is really the chiddush. So the Rambam has to have a mokar. How do you know that all sfeikas are mutter? So says the Rash, b'da'as Rambam, maybe you're going to tell me that the mokar that all sfeikas are mutter is good for this. Because we thought that sfeik mamzer is the chiddush. That's the quirk. That's the yaitzim in a klal. No, maybe sfeik mamzer is the model. Maybe sfeik mamzer is the source for all other isurim in the Torah that all sfeikas are mutter. Maybe you could say that b'das Rambam. So the Rashba says, not only maybe you could say that b'das Rambam, but the Rashba says the Rambam himself said it. But did the Rambam say it? Problem is the Rambam Mishnah Torah never gives you sources for his halachas. That was part of the critique that the Ravid had. The Ravid criticizes the Rambam for many, many things in writing Mishnah Torah. So one of the things that the Ravid had two different levels of critique against the Rambam. One was on the Pratim, means he went through all of Mishnah Torah, and he commented whenever he has something he disagrees with. That's why it's the Rosh HaTevis of the Ravid, whenever he criticizes the Rambam, he always starts with Aleph, Amar Avram. That's himself, the Ravid, Amar Avram. Because the Tamidim were writing the critique. The Ravid was saying Shia. The Ravid would say over Rambam. He would say Shia. The Ravid lived in Provence. He was in southern France. The Rambam was writing in North Africa. He was writing in Egypt. So the Rambam wrote a Sefer, and then the Sefer started to be brought from one Jewish community to another. So the Ravid's sitting there and reading the Rambams. So that's how he used to say Shia. He'd read a Rambam, and he'd say, "Well, this is not right. I just think the Gemara said differently. I read the Gemara differently." So the Tamidim would sit there, and they'd write, "Amar Avram." The Ravid said, "A Rebbe said the following about this Rambam." That's, sometimes the Lashon is very, very sharp. The Ravid was saying in the middle of saying Shirim, he was saying, "What? This can't be. This is a Hevel Havolam. This is Shtus. This can't be." The Ravid was all worked up. He was talking. So the Tamidim sitting there and writing, and then this became, the Hasagas of the Ravid. So many of the Hasagas of the Ravid were just on details of the Rambam. But then the Ravid had other Hasagas, which is a more profound Hasaga. He had critique on the whole style of the book. It means he disagreed with the Rambam's whole approach to how he wrote the Sefer. So one of the things that the Ravid disagreed with, which others also criticized the Rambam, was that the Rambam didn't give sources for what he was saying. The Ravid just said that the Rambam writes, "This is the din." He writes, "This is the din, and this is the din, and this is the din." And you know where it's coming from. So when you try to reconstruct how the Rambam, how did the Rambam say that? If the Gemara sounds not that way. So you have to try to figure out what the Rambam learned the Gemara this way. The Rambam held it was Machalik Zasugis, the Rambam had followed Yerushalmi, the Rambam had a different gear, so the Rambam held this. So that's what everyone's been doing for the last 800 years. If the Rambam would have given the sources, then Rosh Hashivas would have nothing to do. There would be no Shia Klolis. So no one would have Shtikul Torahs to write in the Rambam. So the Rambam didn't give you his sources. Why didn't the Rambam give you his sources? So the Rambam writes why he didn't give you his sources. Not that he deliberately didn't. He ran out of time. He writes that his plan was to write, first he's going to write the whole Sefer with all the dinim, and then afterwards he's going to write sources. He can't have tainas in the Rambam. He was writing endnotes instead of footnotes. But he never got around to it. He writes that he tried. He never got around. He ran out of time. He became a very, very famous doctor. And he writes that his famous, one of the famous Igeres at Rambams, he describes what his daily schedule was like. He said he wanted to sit and learn, but he was swamped with patients. He writes that he became the king's doctor, and now he's got to take care. Says the he writes it in a letter. He says, the king's got 100 wives, and each wife's got 10 kids, and they all got runny noses, and they all got the ear infections, and I got to take care of all the kids, the whole royal family. I'm not kidding, he writes, I got to take care of the whole royal family every day. It takes hours, and then I come back to my, he writes, I ride back on my donkey back to my house, and I come to my house to try to relax for a few minutes, and I have patients standing in line for hours on end. So what am I going to do? He said, they need me to give them medicine, they need me to examine them. So I'm spending more time. See, all the doctors shouldn't feel so bad. He said, I'm riding, I'm busy. By the time it comes time to, you know, it gets dark at night already, I try to learn for a few minutes, I'm exhausted, the Rambam writes. He writes, I fall and I collapse, I can barely learn. He said, the only day that I could have any chance to myself was on Shabbos. He said, but what's the problem? He writes in the letter, Rafael, he says, but Shabbos, you know, the whole Jewish community is here. They all, I come to davening, and then they swamp me after davening, he says, they ask me shailas, and they need hadrocha, they need eitzes for their problems. So the Rambam was rabbi doctor here. And I say, the best of both worlds, the worst of both worlds. He had the patience for bothering one week, and the balabatha for bothering one Shabbos. So he was wearing two hats. And now all day Shabbos, he says, I'm giving a chumash here, and I'm teaching them this, and I'm in Mavasendra with the kids, and I'm doing this. So I can coach you every time to learn. So he writes, he throws his hands up, and he says, all my learning was when I was younger. I had a chance to learn. That's why we have to write Mishnah Torah. But he said, now, in my later years, he said, I don't have any time. That's the Rambam writes. Okay, so anyone feels any chalish the das, they should just read that, the Rambam. But he doesn't say how long it took him. He does write how long it took him on the donkey ride. So you get the impression that that's when he did most of his learning. That he used to chazer and was sitting in traffic in the donkey, in the easy pass lane. So he used to have a lot of time. Nobody bothered him with the donkey. Okay, I guess there were rules. You weren't allowed to go on your cell phone when you're riding your donkey in Cairo. So that's the stumble way he got his learning done. So the Rambam writes that he was planning on writing a follow-up to Mishnah Torah in which he would give you the background, the sources for all his dinim. But the Minas Shemayim, it never happened. So again, the Minas Shemayim, we don't know some of the Makaras of the Rambam, so we have to try to figure out our own. That's what Acharonim were doing for 800 years, to try to figure out, why did the Rambam say this, why did the Rambam say that? So the Rashba writes that Mistama, this is the Pshah in the Rambam. The Rashba says that Mistama, the Rambam held, that the Makar for this razzle-dazzle chiddush of his, that Sveikis Amutta Minas Torah, must be from Suffolk Mamzer. Suffolk Mamzer is not the exception to the rule. Rather, Suffolk Mamzer is the rule itself. And says the Rashba, not only am I guessing that this is probably the source for the Rambam, but there's a Tshuva Rambam that supports this. The Rashba quotes, but Sasi with Tshuva Rambam, that in fact the Rambam himself says such a thing. The only problem is that we don't have this Tshuva Rambam. The later Chavarim, we don't know which Tshuva Rambam. We have very, very few Tshuvas in the Rambam. There are certain Tshuvas that are not clear what the Rambam actually wrote them. There's a safer Tshuva Rambam, but some of them are not from the Rambam. They're from the Rambam's son, from the Rambam's grandson. So we're not sure exactly certain Tshuva, quote-unquote Tshuvas in the Rambam. So this particular Tshuva, we don't have any other acts, we don't have any other record of this Tshuva that the Rashba has. So it was usually assumed, not like this Rashba, Bidasa Rambam, it was usually assumed that the Rambam did not think that Suffolk Mamzer was the Mokor. Somehow this Tshuva was not really authentic. The Tshuvas Rambam, that the Rambam had a different mokor. What the Rambam's mokor was, we don't know. But to say that this is the mokor for Sveikis being Asar, for Sveikis being Mutter Min HaTorah, is very, very unlikely. If you look at the Gemara in Kedushin, it doesn't sound like that at all. The Gemara sounds like this has nothing to do with Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara says that it sounds very, very strong against the supposed phantom Tshuvas Rambam that the Rashba is quoting. So therefore, all the Acharonim were assuming that the answer to the Rambam has to be a different approach than the Rashba took himself with Das Rambam. But rather, the answer to the Rambam runs along the following lines. That yes, the Rambam says all sfeik is a mutter. Yes, the din is safek, chametz is mutter, and safek shabbos is mutter, and safek chazim. Everything's all sfeik is a mutter min haTorah. But sometimes a situation arises where we wouldn't be able to apply the rule of Sveika Deraisa Lakula on a love of Deraisa. Let's say, for example, what if you have a robe? What if the majority is that it's Osir? You have a 65% chance that this is Chazir. You have an 85% chance that this is Chametz. Would the Rambam say you're allowed to eat it? So the assumption is not. Because as hopefully as we'll see in the weeks and months coming up, we're going to speak a lot about, hopefully, the principle of robe. Whenever you have a majority, so a majority is not a suffix anymore, majority changes all the rules. Whenever you have a rove, so that overrides the regular rules of Sveikis. So come a group of Acharonim and say that when did the Rambam say that Sveikis a mutter? That's what we call an halacha suffix hashokhul. But it's a 50-50 suffix. Means we don't know. A piece of cracker in front of me. I can't tell. It's a chametz, it's a matzah. It's hard to tell. So I was just reading an article the other day that said, the Gemara is a whole deal in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim about you have a piece of something in front of you and you can't tell for the life of you whether it's chametz or matzah. What do you mean you can't tell for the life of you it's chametz or matzah? You take a look. If it's a big piece of bread, it's chametz. If it's a little cracker, it's matzah. So the answer is, the Gemara is talking about like the Sephardi matzahs. The Gemara is talking about the soft matzahs. So you take a pita. Where's Rani Ish? We need him. We need his temani matzahs. You take what temani matzah and you take a pita and you look at them.
You feel them, you taste them, they don't look all that much different. What's the difference? One of them was baked right away within 18 minutes and the other one wasn't. But in terms of the texture, in terms of the look, so to the untrained eye, it's hard to tell which is chametz, which is matzah. So you can have a situation where you have a sofik chametz, sofik matzah. You can have an matzahs also. You can have, you know, you can have matzah that wasn't washed properly. So it could also be a chashash of chametz. So when would the Rambam say that tzveikis amutim in a Torah? When you have no way of knowing one way or the other. I'm 50-50 chance. If a piece of something on the table, 50% chance it's chametz, 50% matzah. 50% chance it's chazer, 50% chance it's not chazer. That's when the Rambam says the rule of tzveikis being mutim in a Torah. But what if you have a rov? What if the odds are that it's really asur? The Rambam would never permit you to eat it. The Rambam would say, for sure, that's asur min haTorah. Rambam lahatas. Why do you have to follow rov? Rov works, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So come the Acharonim and say, that's the Chiddush of Safek Mamzer. The Chiddush of Safek Mamzer is that even though it's a rov, even though there's a rov, the odds are this kid is a mamzer. There's an 85% chance this child in front of us is a mamzer. He's still mutter min haTorah. That's the Chiddush lo yavam mamzer b'kal Hashem. Any suffix whatsoever. It doesn't have to be the criteria of suffix of kol haTorah kula. Any suffix, cues that. It's called the suffix. It's not 100% mamzerus. Therefore, the child is mutter l'avoy b'kal. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. That's what the whole group of Achorim say. This is the first Shemaitza. Aleph, this is the very beginning of Shemaitza. We developed this idea that according to the Rambam, you have to say that Safek Mamzer somehow breaks the rules of Sveikis. It's not like the Rashba's phantom Shuvas Rambam, that Safek Mamzer is the model for Sveikis, but rather Safek Mamzer is the exception to the rule of Sveikis. That the basic structure of the Shittas Rambam is that all Sveikis are mutter ben haTorah, but that's only when there's no rove supporting you, or a rove opposing you. But the chiddush of Safek Mamzer is that even though there's a rove against you, it's still going to be mutter. Then you have other Acharonim who say the same structure of a teretz, the same basic lumdus of a teretz, they just change the facts a little bit. Rather than saying that you have a rove working against you, what if you have a chazaka working against you? What if you have a status quo working against you? So we have a lot of work to do on this principle of chazaka also down the line. But basically, there is a halacha in a Torah that when you have a suffix, you're not sure what to do, so you follow the chazaka. Whatever it used to be. If it used to be mutter, then it remains mutter. If it used to be also, then it remains also. We have such a principle called following chazakas. Following chazakas is, again, we'll see, there's a lot of lumdus, a lot of details. But when you follow chazaka, we don't follow chazaka. So it has to be a wild chazaka shayla. Usually you don't get, shesh maisa shayla lemaisa. But as I introduced them in the Shiur, so I said that, you know, a lot of the principles that we're going to discuss in the next couple of months are principles that are used in Paskin and Shailas. You just have to know how to use them properly. So somebody asked me, Hilchos Nida Shaila, the other day, he asked me the following Shaila, that it was Mamash and Hilchos Nida, it's a good bridge between the Nida Shurim and the Shesh Maitz Shurim. The Shaila was as follows, that a woman had two Bediga clubs, and one of them was a Hafsik Tara, and one of them was the bedikah of the first day. And she brought them to the Rav, and one was Asr, and one was Mutter. What was the problem? She didn't remember which is which. She didn't write down which is which. So the Shaila was, can we say that the one that was Asr, let's get a chap in Afkamina in terms of another day, if the Hafsik Tara was the one that was Asr, so that's good for us, and then the bedikah Yom Rishon will at least be the next day Hafsik Tara. If it's the bedikah Yom Rishon that was Asr, then she's a whole other day behind. So do we have a right to make the following statement? That we can declare that the Hafsik Tara was the one that was Asur, and the Bedikah was the one that was Mutter, to save her a day. Can we make such a statement? The Hechateis, we can make such a statement. So the Poskim assume that Safik and Bedikah, we spoke about this in the past, Safik Bedikah is a Shaz of Deraisa. Maybe. So if you follow the rule of Safik and Deraisa, how dare you make such a statement? It's a 50-50 chance. So the person who asked me the Rav Kovid the Shara is a very long Shaila. He says, well, she has a chazaka working on her side. What's the chazaka working on her side? The Ramban, if you remember from Nida days back a while ago. So the Ramban at the beginning of Nida says that once a woman makes a Hafsik Tara, she becomes a cheskas ein aroa. So whereas Kozman, she hasn't made a Hafsik Tara properly, then she has a cheskas tmeh, she has a cheskas that she's been seeing. Once she makes the Hafsik Tara, even though she's not tahora yet, she's still got a week to go, she's got to go to the mikvah, but she's still a cheskas ein aroa, she's changed her chazaka. So maybe one could argue that a suffix on a Hafsik Tara cloth has to go l'chumra, whereas a suffix on a bedikah cloth has to go you have a right to go lekula. Because in one case she has a cheskes roa, in another case she doesn't have a cheskes roa. So she has it's not a suffik, a shokla anymore. It's not a 50-50 chance. It's a chazapa working in our favor. Then to make the question even better, she may have a rove working in her favor also. Because it could be that rove shailas on bedika klos yom rishon may end up to be mutter. Rove hefsektaris may be asa. The odds are that it's probably, the earliest shaila was the asa one. Why? Because what teva olam is that the period starts flowing, then it starts to, you know, slowly end. So usually, every once in a while she'll start up again on day three of Shiva Nikim, so you have stira. But the darka shalolam is that, I can always tell, sometimes a woman brings me 10 bedikah cloths, which I always tell people not to do, because it's not good for the process. But she brings me 10 bedikah cloths at once, she'd rather bring it to me occasionally, rather than have all 20 of them before she's ready to go to the mikvah. So she brings me 20 bedikah cloths, and they're all marked properly. AM day 1, PM day 1, AM day 2. I could 99.999% of the time I could tell which is which, because you could see the lessening of the colors. Usually the more serious shadows at the beginning, it becomes less and less of a problem as the bleeding stops entirely. So there's probably a rove that the more problematic cloth was the Hefsek Tayra rather than Bedikah Yom Rishon. So here we have, it's not a Suffolk or Shachol. We have a Chazaka working in our favor, and we have a Rove working in our favor. So it's a Rube the Chazaka in the same direction. So maybe we have a right to be making on this woman to say that that the odds are, and the Chazaka points in the direction that she's allowed to assume the best case scenario, that the Hefsek Tayra was the problem, and the Bedikah Yom Rishon was okay, and therefore we'll call the Bedikah Yom Rishon the Hefsek Tayra, that she could start counting Shiva Nekim earlier. So that's the way the Rav, we were working out the details of the Shaila. So I said to him, it was the middle of Chalamoid, and my mind was trying to figure out stores in the community, other things in my mind at the time. So I said to him, it sounds like a lumdish, a razzle dazzle. The Gemara says in the second part of Gittin, Bechiri B'nei Adam Adam and Nasa Maisa, not every Shtikul Torah necessarily Paskin Shailas. I said, you gotta really learn to Rove, you gotta learn to Chazokas and Spagas. I said, you gotta sit and learn Shemaitza for 6 months to figure out, are we right? And this is too complicated, this Cheshmer. I said, I don't have the guts to be Makel based on this Rove and Chazok. I'm still have to call it a Suffolk. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that this is not more than a regular Suffolk. This is too sharp for me right now. So I thought that we should be Neutel Hachma. But again, it could be that it's possible. If you'd really, really go through the sugya properly, it could be that you may have a point. Maybe that it's I said, hey, somebody else, I wasn't comfortable. If you make it on the Shtikul Torah, that you have a rov and a chazaka, and all these cases. Anyway, so you see that sometimes there is an interplay of these things in passing real life shailas. You gotta know these klolim as well. So getting back to the story, so come the achronim and say, when you have a chazaka that it used to be mutter, used to be aser, so there's a din deraisa, so you follow that chazaka even in the face of a suffix. So come a group of Acharenim that the Sheh Shmaitzah quotes and says, maybe that's the answer, that's the key to the Shittas Rambam in terms of the riddle of Suffolk Mamzer. What would the din be if you have a person who's a Suffolk Mamzer, but there's a Chazaka that he was a Mamzer? He's a Chazaka, he's a Mamzer. There's a Chazaka that's working against us. What's the Chazaka? So we know the following information. We know who his mother was. We know his mother was Rachel. And we know his father was. His father was Reuven. The only problem is that Rachel was married to somebody else. Rachel was married to Shimon. So if, at the time when Reuven and Rachel were Mazana together, if this child was born, it's not a Suffolk Mamzer, it's a Vade Mamzer. What's the problem? What makes the case a Suffolk Mamzer? That Shimon may have divorced Rachel already. We have a Suffolk whether he divorced her. We have a get that was the Gemara's classic case, Nimtza Suffolk, Karav Law. He threw a get within 4 amos of the woman, and it's not sure whether it's, but it's within 4 amos, not within 4 amos. It doesn't matter what the case is. It's a Suffolk Megureshes. We have a real bona fide Suffolk whether this woman was an Eishes Ish or not. If she was an Eishes Ish, then the kid is a Mamzer. If she was a Grusha, then the kid obviously is not a Mamzer. So we don't know. It's a Suffolk or Shachol. But we have a Chazaka that she was an Eishes Ish. That means for the last 20 years she was an Eishes Ish. So for the last 20 years the woman was in it. It's a Baskel that she was an Eishes Ish. So for the last 20 years she was an Eishes Ish. And now we have a latest a Suffolk, whether she received the get or not. So that's not a Suffolk. That's not a 50-50 Suffolk. That's a Suffolk with a Chazaka working against you. So come the Acharonim and say, according to the Rambam, this woman is still an Eishes Ish. You can't marry this woman at her. Now Reuven wants to marry her. Reuven says, the Rambam said, Sveikas Amutar. That's ridiculous. The Rambam wouldn't permit you to marry this woman because it's not a Sofek with nothing else. That's a Sofek with a Chazak against you. The same way the Rambam says, when you have a Sofek, but there's a Rove against you, there's an 85% chance that she's Asur, you can't marry a Minatora. So too, when you have a Sofek, and now there's a Chazak that she's Asur, because she was an Eshtish for 20 years, so the Rambam would say, that Avada, you can't marry her, even Midiraisa. So come the Achvarim and say, that's a Sofek, a Shoko and Mamzeris. Now the guy went ahead and was Mizana with her. Now the child's born. So that's not a 50-50 Sufik. That's a 50-50 Sufik with the Chazaka saying he's probably a Mamzer because his mother probably was an Eshes Ish. Not because statistically she was probably an Eshes Ish, but because Chazaka, in the world of Chazaka, status quo wise, she was an Eshes Ish. Comes the Shmaitz and says, this child can get married. Minatari. You know why? Because that's the Chiddush HaTorah of Sofek Mamzer. So Sofek Mamzer goes above and beyond the regular rules of Sveikis. The regular rules of Sveikis, the Rambam was this amazing cloud, this unbelievable cloud. The Rambam flew up in his great clouds. He's riding his donkey through Cairo, came with this gewaltig cloud called All Sveikis and Mutter Minatara. But even the Rambam wouldn't say it all the time. Even the Rambam would be limited by Rove. If Rove's against you, it's not true. If Chazok is against you, it's not true. That's where Sofek Mamzer steps up to the plate. That's where Sofek Mamzer comes and tells me that notwithstanding the fact that it fails to meet the criteria to be a Sofek HaMutter Min HaTorah, the Torah was still Matur by Mamzer. Mamzer breaks all rules. Mamzer is totally Mutter. There's a Rove against you, it doesn't matter. There's a Chazok against you, it doesn't matter. Sofek Mamzer, Itira Torah. Loyava Mamzer, Mamzer Vada. Isof Talocha Mashu Mesina, Mamzer Vada. Loyava, HaSofek Mamzer Yavu. That's what a group of Achvarim say. It's the same basic teretz. One is using the issue of Rove to be Mechadish, and one is using the issue of Chazok. Then the Shishmaitz and Shmaitz Aleph quotes other Achvarim who have, it's also a similar kind of an answer, but it goes a slightly different detour. Come the Achvarim and say, what's the din of a Sofek Mamzer? So who exactly is a Sofek Mamzer permitted to marry? So L'chora, he can marry a regular Bas Yisrael. That's what we say. A Sofek Mamzer is allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. Comes the Gemara and says, guess what? Not only can a Sofek Mamzer marry a Bas Yisrael, but he's allowed to marry a Mamzer also. Because he's allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Why? Because he's only a Sofek. The Isurim of Mamzerus were only given by Teres Vadei. L'yov and Mamzer b'kal Hashem. Mamzer means a Vadei Mamzer. Kal Hashem means a Vadei Kal Hashem. A full-fledged, 100% Belishim Sofek Jewish girl cannot marry a 100% Belishim Sofek Mamzer. That's what the Torah said is prohibited. Anytime there's Sveikis and Shailas and Minachua, Chashashas, Minatar, everything's Mutter. But there are other issues, but Minatar, everything's Mutter. Everything goes. A Sofek Mamzer can marry a Bas Yisrael, a Sofek Mamzer can marry a Mamzeres, he can marry a Vadi, can marry a Sofek Mamzeres, whoever he wants to marry, he can marry. So come the Achvarim and say, what would the din be as follows? What if he wants to have two wives? Pre-Cherim Durbin and Gershom. He wants to have two wives. He wants to have a wife who's a regular kosher Bas Yisrael, and he wants to marry a Mamzeres as well. Two wives. Two very, very different, two different approaches. So, Ora, that's absurd. How could he do that? The Marashach is doing something wrong. Make up your mind. Who are you, Mr. Sofek Mamzer? Are you kosher or are you apostle? Can't be both. So are you kosher or are you apostle? If you're kosher, then we can't let you marry the Mamzeres. If you're apostle, then we can't let you marry the Bas Yisrael. How could you marry both? Yep, that's the Chiddush HaTorah. That a Sofek Mamzer is mutter, he's nothing. There's a new category in Halacha called Sofek Mamzer. Sofek Mamzer is not bound by any Isur Mamzeris. It's the best thing to be Minatara. The best case scenario is to be a Sofek Mamzer. Midrabanan, it's the worst. It's the worst for Shidduchim Prach. That's Midrabanan. Because Midrabanan, a Sofek Mamzer cannot marry a Bas Yisrael, and he can't even marry a Mamzer. And he can't even marry another Sofek Mamzer. So Sofek Mamzer Midaraisa is the best Shidduch resume, and Midrabanan is the worst Shidduch resume. He can't marry anybody, unless a Gioras, a Shifcha, and Mishachre. You're very, very limited in Prach. So Sofek Mamzer is the worst case to be in. So comes a group of Rechavim and say, that's the Chiddush of Sofek Mamzer. Sofek Mamzer tells me that everything is Mutter. Min HaTorah, the Rambam never would have said that. If not for the Gzeres HaKosov of Sofek Mamzer, we would have said Sveik is a Mutter, but not tied to the Sasrei. How can you contradict yourself? A Sofek is Mutter Min HaTorah, but you can't contradict yourself. You can't have both. Let's say, according to the Rambam, give you a mashal. Let's say you want to do malacha ben hashmashas. So ben hashmashas is a sofek yom, sofek laila. So you're going to do malacha at the same time. It's 7:03. Ben right smack in the middle of ben hashmashas. You're going to do malacha at 7:03 on Friday, and then you can do malacha at 7:03 Mitzvah Shabbos. You can't do that according to the Rambam. 7:03 is either yom or laila. It's not the best of both worlds. It's a sofek. So min haTorah, maybe the Rambam would say you can do malacha. Maybe the Rambam would say we'll qualify this ultimately as we go on. The Rambam probably wouldn't say this for other reasons, but maybe the Rambam would say in the Torah you can do malacha ben hashmashos, maybe. But he wouldn't let you do the same malach at 7:03 today and 7:03 tomorrow, 7:03 and a half, 7:04, whatever the corresponding time is, because that would be a tie to disaster. That would be a contradiction in Neuvei. You think davening mincha b'ayir if the plague is a tie to disaster? It's a tie to disaster in the deraisa. It's a stira min Neuvei. So obviously the Rambam wouldn't permit this. So that's what the Chavarim write. That's the chiddush of Safik Mamzer. Safik Mamzer is so chiddush. It's so unbelievably chiddush that everything goes. You can even contradict yourself. That's it. You have two wives at the same time. It's also, everything's okay. Safik Mamzer is a hetagama. Safik Mamzer is mutter, to use a lamdisha term. Safik Mamzer is not mutter b'ter Safik. Safik Mamzer is mutter b'ter Vadai. Means you're not a Mamzer. You're not in the parish. Mamzeris doesn't apply to you. And therefore, all the Yisurim of Mamzeris fall off for a Safik Mamzer.
It seems like in almost every case of Safik, you can somehow apply a concept of rov. You know, if it's Pesach, this piece of bread is probably not chametz. If you're in past markets, probably chametz. If you're in a Jewish neighborhood, the meat is
right, that's right. In Ochinami, it's a pet. In Ochinami, very often. I can do have robes. The Gemara has a whole sugi Maseches Pesachim about a guy's got, it's the third day of Chol HaMoed already, and he finds a piece of something. So the Gemara says, the odds are it's probably matzah. Why should you assume that it's chametz from Wesley? It's probably fresh stuff that he just baked. That is a robe. Sometimes there is robes. So in Ochinami, there's a whole sugi. So we'll talk about a great length. The guy finds a piece of meat. Find a piece of meat in the middle of Cedar Lane. So, Rabbi Rukar, rove the meat stores of kosher. I think, if you take a tally up all the stores, all the stores on the Hashkacha kosher, I'm saying, you can tally up all the stores on Cedar Lane that sell meat, the Jewish stores, the non-Jewish stores, it could be there's a row of the Jewish stores. So it could be that if you, no. If you find it, on West Englewood, you find a piece of meat sitting on the floor in front of chopsticks, so that, I think, it could be not even row, it could be it's coal, it could be all the stores of kosher. So the Nochinami, that would change the facts. But sometimes you have cases which are mamish objective sveikis, like the case of the Eishes Ish. We don't know where the get fell. We saw the get fall, but we're not sure. Did it fall here? Did it fall there? You don't really rove. It's a 50-50 chance. We have no idea what the facts are. So in a chenambi, whenever you have rove, that's going to change the case. So the bottom line is, all the Acharonim are giving it's the same basic answer with a different twist. Everyone's trying to solve the problem in the same direction. Namely, there must be some chiddush of Safik Mamzer. Safik Mamzer must break all the rules. Which rule does it break? So some Acharonim said it breaks the rule of Rov, and some pick up the rule of Chazoka, and some pick on the rule of Tata Nisasi, contradicting yourself. But they're all going the same Mahalach. All of these Mahalachim are unlike that Tshuva Sarambam. The Tshuva Sarambam, which the Rashba quoted, but Lamaisa nobody else had, the Tshuva Sarambam would supposedly said, no, Safik Mamzer is not the exception to the rule. Safik Mamzer is the source of the rule. That's where the Rambam got it from in the first place. But we don't know. The Rambam never finished his Sefer. So if the Rambam would have finished the Sefer and would have told us where the sources for his Halachas would have been, then we would have known whether we're going down the wrong direction with all these Mahalachim. Maybe the Tshuva Sarashba, the Tshuva Sarambam is right. But the consensus, the later Acharonim, is not like that Tshuva Sarambam, that supposed fan to Tshuva Sarambam. We're going to Mahalach, that there is something unique in terms of Safik Mamzer. Hopefully, which from next week, well, this was only the first of the kashas that the Rishonim have against the Rambam. We have another two more biggies to go. So at the rate we're going, it may take us 3 weeks just to get to answer what is the basis of the Shittas Rambam. Hopefully, which from next week, we'll move on in terms of that.